On this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast, we asked, whatever happened to Fuel and like nine other bands who seem to have vanished completely from the music business? Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Welcome back, moms and dads, boys and girls, children of all ages, to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. I am your ringmaster, Ludini. In the house tonight, we have the lovely and talented Miss Lily V6. Lily, check that microphone.
Checking it now. Check.
We got it. So we got Lily V6. And I am sad to announce you guys that we will no longer have Pittsburgh Kevin on the show. Instead, we do have a replacement, though, and that is Cannonsburg Kevin.
Yeah.
So we have Cannonsburg Kevin.
Is there a Cannonsburg accent? I don't think there is.
It's kind of similar to the Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same.
All right, I'll just stick with.
Except there's a couple things, like you got to say, instead of accordion, you got to say accordine. So if you ever have to say the word accordion, you say accordine.
Accordine.
Well, let's hope we don't ever have to use that word on the show.
No.
Oh my God! So what's the line from Ishtar? Did you ever see the movie Ishtar?
Years ago.
If you play accordion, no one will hire you in a rock and roll band. That's one of the. I don't know. But anyway, so you listen to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. But in all seriousness, the Hawk is on a hiatus. He is healthy. Samantha's healthy. The puppies are all good and everything like that. It's just this kind of we just call it a scheduling conflict temporarily for what we'll say it is right now. Everybody's good. There's no, you know, bad stuff. It's just a situation, and until a couple things get resolved, it's just kind of where we're going to be. So don't want you guys to worry about that. The Hawk is still out there in Hawkland, and hopefully we will be getting him back sooner rather than later. Okay, it is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Hey, guys, you know, Bill Damiano isn't the only one who's getting a Ludini Rock and Roll Circus t-shirt. No. You could have your very own. You could get a Ludini Rock and Roll Circus tote. Whoa. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus mug.
Wow.
Ludini Rock and Roll Circus condoms.
Shut up.
Ludini Rock and Roll. No, we don't have condoms yet. Maybe we do. But anyway, so we have Ludini swag. You can get that. Go to lulombardimusic.com/RNRCircus. R as in rock, N as in and R as in roll. Rock and Roll Circus. lulombardimusic.com/RNRCircus. So go there and get yourself some stuff.
I am a fan of the mug.
The mug. Everybody loves the mugs. I mean, I gotta get a bunch of tickets to Rockin' Pod this year. Speaking of that, Rockin' Pod, I will be speaking at Rockin' Pod this year, and I'll give you guys some more information mid-podcast on Rockin' Pod. It's a podcast expo with a focus on rock, and they get tons of great bands that come through there. A lot of famous people, so you can hobnob with some of your idols and get to hobnob with the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus as well. We will be there. Shout out to wolfscustoms.online. Go ahead and just get hooked up with the Chris Thunderwolf Dodson right away and get a custom finish on your musical instrument, guitar, bass, drums, whatever it is that you play. They do not discriminate. They will give you a great custom finish that'll make you stand out. Each one is unique. They do hollow flash. They do all kind of stuff. So check them out. Go to wolfscustoms.online. Shout out to Rock Rage Radio. Go to rockrageradio.com and download the app. You can listen to great guitar-driven rock 24/7. Speaking of Rock Rage Radio, as I mentioned, we have Lily V6 in the house. Lily V has her own show in addition to this on Rock Rage Radio. So tell us about that real quick, Lily.
It's Hot Licks with Lily 6 Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And I will be having a lot of interviews coming up.
Nice.
Lots.
And so will I. So, guys, that's the sort of business out of the way for now. I am going to do something we don't normally do here because this is a song that is not published or anything like that. But this band is the band that Keith is in. They're called Ugly. So we're going to play a track from Ugly a little bit later on in the show, just because our brother is putting out some music and we want to support him. So that's going to be coming up here in a little bit. So those of you who are on my email list know that I told a little story this week about I told my Fuel story. If you don't know, Fuel was a band from the 1990s. They released Sunburn in 98, which was I think it's their debut album. And just a great track after track is great. Chris Daughtry did Hemorrhage for his performance on American Idol, and was actually asked to join Fuel after that, but he had a prior contract he could not get out of. I loved this band. I thought that record was so good, and I bought their follow-up album as well. Just a huge fan. Just thought the songwriting was totally solid. Loved the sound, and they are Pennsylvania boys, based out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Like another band that who we should put on the list. If we don't, we should talk about Live at some point.
Are they on your list? Mm-hmm. They're not on my list.
Okay, maybe when we do this again, we'll talk about the band Live. That record just blew my mind. I played it over and over and over. I had heard the song Shimmer on Quick Rock out of Johnstown, driving back and forth to rehearsals, and it just I had to get the CD. So I went to the Exchange as soon as I could, and I got it. Became a huge fan. Fast forward 2006, 2007, something like that. I'm doing a show with Super Monkey at the Lily, help me out. Was down there, giant church down there in the Strip.
Altar Bar.
And we were opening for this band, and Brett Scallion from Fuel was in the band. We were all excited. They didn't do one Fuel song, and Brett wasn't even singing. He was just kind of hanging in the back playing bass. Not there's anything wrong with the bass guitar, Cannonsburg Kevin.
No, not at all.
Not at all. But, you know, we were kind of, oh, bummer. And that was the last I had heard about them until, you know, I started doing a little bit of research for this show. And they had the typical rock and roll BS story, right? You know, get together, put out some albums. This guy leaves, that guy leaves, this guy comes back, this guy leaves. And they kind of did this little dance. They eventually did an album without Brett that like totally tanked. And I think that was a sort of like nail in the coffin. And ever since then, the band, I went to their website, and their website is up, fuelrocks.com, but none of the links work. You can't click on anything. And Lily was telling me you've seen them kind of like, they kind of do like little one-offs.
They do a couple one-offs. Last time I saw them was at the Meadows Casino, maybe 2 years ago. But yeah, they'll do shows here and there.
Okay.
Not often.
You went with Amy.
Of course I did.
And Eric and I came down and you.
Oh, yeah.
The show you were going
that's
to.
That's the show.
That's the show you were going to. I should have gone in and seen them, but we didn't have tickets and we were already pretty wasted. And,
who didn't know that?
I probably wouldn't have known.
What?
Even when I was listening to at that point, because I was hanging out with Eric and right, Cannonsburg, Kevin.
Wow.
Yeah, that was actually my mom's birthday. She was there too. Not at the show. She was at the casino with dad.
Oh,
gambling.
Nice. Yeah. So they are a kind of like, yes, they're around, but they're not really, you know, there's no plans to put out any big records or, you know, do any kind of big tours. When you Google them, there is a link that pops up that says tour schedule for 2020 and 2021. I was all excited. So I clicked on it and it's like, no dates at this time. Like, okay. I see what you guys
are. Nuts.
Nuts. Oh, shucks.
Nuts in a bucket.
Golly gee willikers.
I can't even stand you.
I don't know, Wally. I want to go see Fuel.
Well, you can see the Black Crowes now. They're honoring your ticket.
I am going to see the Black Crowes.
Nice.
With Dirty Honey.
I'm not going with Dirty Honey. Thank you.
The band.
I don't associate with those kinds of people.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Right.
All my honey is clean.
Oh.
You got to keep your honey clean, baby.
Have another drink.
I haven't had one yet.
Hurry.
I'm behind. Hurry. Because I've been talking. So when Lily and Kevin talk, then I'm going to be drinking.
Drink.
But I don't know. We usually kind of go around the room, and I usually let somebody else start. But it is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, so I thought, you know, do for it. Once, maybe I'll just jump in
do
and
it.
Start the thing here.
You did do the thing.
I did do the thing. So
you did the damn thing.
Anyways, guys, I am trying to become a better podcaster, trying to eliminate and ah and tripping over my words, things like that. So let me know how I'm doing. Really trying to get better at that sort of thing. And I'm also trying to get better pronouncing crap. You know, when I was a kid...
You pronounce crap pretty good right there. That's very good.
My sister and I would get so embarrassed because my dad could not pronounce any of our friends' names. And now I've become that. Mm-hmm. I can't pronounce people's names. To my credit, I don't have very good eyesight. And Lily knows I'm often... Right?
You are. You do
I'm
do
often,
that.
I'm often sticking my face right up to the screen. So sometimes I'm reading something and the letters look kind of... it's like that episode of South Park where Officer Barb Brady couldn't read. And they show him what the words look like to him. And it's just like hieroglyphics. And sometimes that's what it looks like to me. So anyways... We prefer to call him the chicken lover in front of the children. Okay. So... Let's move on. I gave you a little bit of background and fuel. You may see them, right? Things are opening up. They may go like, hey, we need some money.
We need a casino show.
But Brett Scallions has done other stuff. Do you know that Brett played with Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger? They did a Doors thing.
Yes.
And they had Brett with them for a while. So he's done other things. With other musicians. He's not like just sitting on his laurels. He does do stuff. He's married to the guitar player. I believe I have this correct. He's married to the guitar player from Slunt.
Sure.
Slunt. I'm pretty sure. And they have a couple of kids with very bizarre names. And maybe while one of the guys
that you can't pronounce.
No, yeah. It was so funny.
Don't try.
And maybe while these guys are doing their thing. I will. I'll look it up and take because I read their names. I'm like, oh, good. Whatever. Okay. So, Fuel. Lily, what do you got?
I'm going to apologize for my cough. I'm sorry. It's a dry cough. It's not contagious. It's
Corona die.
You all right?
But I'm going to be coughing a lot. So there's that.
Coughing
a lot. Coughing anyway, up. My first pick for the evening is Brides of Destruction. If anybody remembers that. Very short-lived band. It's a supergroup from Los Angeles formed in 2002. Nikki Sixx, of course, formed Brides of Destruction with LA Guns guitarist Tracy Guns, initially with the name Cockstar. After Motley,
way better name than Brides of Destruction.
After Motley Crue went on hiatus in 2001, they started this band. Added to the lineup were Edema drummer Chris Coles, LA Guns bassist Adam Hamilton, and then singer London LeGrand, which I thought maybe he was a part of Nikki Sixx's band London, but nope, that's not a thing. Hamilton was soon replaced by former Motley Crue singer and guitarist John Corabi, while Tracy Guns left LA Guns to focus on the band. They briefly adopted the moniker Motor Dog before settling on Brides of Destruction. The name was suggested by an industry friend and photographer. By 2003, both Corabi and Coles departed the band, with former Ann Tenna and Edna Swap Scott Coogan replacing Coles. The last lineup consisted of London LeGrand, Tracy Guns, and Scott Coogan. Sixx returned to Motley Crue, of course, because Motley Crue needed a tour, their first reunion tour. So they had to do that, you know, money and all. The band continued with former Amen bassist Scott Sari replacing Sixx, while Ginger of the Wild Hearts, this is like super group all over the place. They're even replacing it with like famous people.
Famous people replacing famous people. You're not famous enough to be in this band.
Ginger only lasted 2 months. So you can see where this is going. Following the formation of the Tracy Guns band, Brides of Destruction disbanded in 2006. To date, Brides of Destruction have released 2 studio albums. The first only has Nikki Sixx and John Corabi, while the other one has all these other guys. Here Come the Brides and The Runaway Brides were the 2 albums. In an interview on November 24th, 2008, London LeGrand admitted that he would like to see Brides of Destruction reunion with Nikki Sixx back in the band. Of course, we know that's not going to happen. But in 2016, LeGrand launched a new band named Brides of Destruction Goatborg.
What?
Yeah.
Göteborg?
Yeah.
Göteborg.
Yes.
Göteborg.
Here Comes the Brides is the more successful album because that is the one with Nikki Sixx. It's the only one that charted anything. The album's only single, Shut the Fuck Up, failed to chart due to little airplay. As you see why it has little airplay. I think that if they were able to get a little more airplay, it probably would have lasted a little longer than the two albums that they had being, even with Nikki Sixx and John Corabi and all these guys leaving the band. But Shut the Fuck Up draws, sort of sounds like Generation Swine. It's got a little bit of that in it, and a little bit of Queensryche sound to it, too. But that's
interesting.
That's my Brides of Destruction story.
Those super groups, you know what I mean?
Like, they hardly ever.
Historically, don't really last.
Because everybody wants to get back together with their original band.
Well, that, and just, I think it's the egos.
Oh, yeah, for
they
sure.
They just can't, oh, well, yeah, well, I was in, no, well, yeah, but my band was, you know. And I think that they just, it's not going to fly.
I mean, Nikki Sixx was bored. This is what happened. And Tracy Guns was bored. So they created a band together. That's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so yeah, that happens. Those you know, you think back in history, all the bands that have tried to do that, going back to, you know, Blind Faith, bands like that, you know, they can usually get an album out, and sometimes they're not even that good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get super groups together, and sometimes it's just like
and you expect so much.
Yeah, that's what it is. There's a lot of high expectation there, and it just doesn't
do it for you.
It just doesn't work. One of the bands that did put out a couple of albums that they had some singles, had some top 40 hits with, was, remember the band from the 80s called Asia?
Yes.
That was a super group. And that was, they did okay. But again, that was the sort of like, the sort of criticism of that band was like, it's all right, but it didn't really.
That's another band that'll do casino shows every once in a while.
Asia, really? Yes. I can't be the original lineup.
Actually, I heard it was.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I've heard it is.
Because I think Steve Howe is a wonderful guitar player, and I would love to see him play before I die. Before he dies.
Before he dies. Yeah, like
it. Let's put it that way.
He hasn't already passed away this past year or so. Everybody died in the past couple of years. But yeah, that's a cool pick. Lily, I have to be totally honest with you. I am ignorant of that band. I do not know that band. Good.
But you should know it because it's Nikki Sixx, but that's okay.
Wow.
But that's okay. I won't hold it against you.
Do you guys remember this song, Walking on the Sun?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know this band.
Do you remember the song All Star?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That was a little band that made a big splash for a couple of years in the late 90s called Smash Mouth. Fun name. Fun name. Sounds like, you know, you got drunk and you fell down and smashed your mouth on something. Sort of like a thing. But you know, they had that kind of handful of songs, and then what?
Where'd they go?
Yeah.
What happened?
And it's the story of losing the record label. They're not, you know, they do the songs, they do this song, they do that song, and they can't quite get where they were. They put out a cover in 2001 of I'm a Believer by the Monkees,
which was featured in Shrek.
Yeah,
so that's is where they're going.
And they were on the movie Rat Race.
And 03 they go away. Get the Picture was released. You Are My Number One, Hang On, and Always Get Her Way. Do you remember any of those songs?
Nope, can't exactly. Say that I do.
Exactly. So they ended up, you know, losing the record label. Again, they seem to be a band that shows up on a lot of soundtracks. I know All Star has been in some, like, kids' movies and stuff as well. So then they get signed to Universal, and of course they release All Star Smash Hits. Ha! Clever. Clever name. The band is, you know, it's. Reminds me of when Wilson Phillips was on the Howard Stern show, and he was like, well, "What are you guys promoting?" And she said, "Our greatest hits album." So he says, "Oh, so it has like one song on it."
Oh, man.
Wow. I'm sorry, you don't have enough songs to have a greatest hits. You do not.
Smash Mouth was a fun band, though. They were a for fun the time
band.
Being.
They were a fun band. I'm not knocking them, but come on.
Greatest hits.
Like then they put out a like fifth studio album, Old Habits, recorded in 05. The band said that it was much more like a ska punk thing.
I don't know. It's not really heavy on the ska.
Yeah, they just keep they keep putting out records, and they're just kind of there. And what I suspect is this is one of those bands that's doing okay live because people know their hits, mm-hmm. and they're getting on tickets with bands of that ilk so mm-hmm. they can go out and they can put some money together. Before the release of Summer Girl, drummer Urbano left the band without warning due to creative differences. He was initially replaced by former drummer Mitch Moraine, then by Jason Sutter, best known for his work with American Hi-Fi and the Rembrandts. Remember the Rembrandts?
I remember them. Yeah, they're in that same vein there, aren't
they? Yeah.
Sugar Ray.
Exactly. Sugar Ray. That would be another one we could talk about. But then he left to play drums with Chris Cornell for a while.
Smart move.
So you've got a lot of people. This is what happens with bands. When you start this, people leaving and going and everything, the whole thing really gets watered down. It does not sound like the same band that wrote Walking on the Sun.
Right.
It just does. Right. It loses all of that stuff. But they stayed active, and they're actually still active. They ended up parting with Universal. Their first single after they did that, they worked with Mike Krampus, not Krampus, the Evil Santa.
Evil Santa.
K-R-O-M-P-A-S-S. First single was entitled Magic, debuted on the Adult Contemporary chart at number 22. Mm. So that's not bad, right? I mean, that is charting and everything. So they're still out there. They're still kind of floating around.
We just don't hear about them.
We just don't hear that much because we remember those really, 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 really big songs. Most recently, though, the band has been embroiled in a little controversy because apparently they did a show. They played Sturgis, and they were like, screw COVID, and in my personal feeling, I may lose some listeners. I sort of applaud them for that attitude. I'm not a conformist or anything like that. So my sort of attitude is like that. And it is Sturgis bike motorcycle culture.
So all of them probably cheered.
Yeah,
when he said
yeah, exactly. So the motorcycle culture is like the giant middle finger to the establishment, anyways. And, you know, there was some controversy because some people said that there were deaths from COVID. I do not know how you could literally, factually check that somebody caught COVID at a Smash Mouth concert and then died. I mean, the guy, when you go to concerts, what do, Lily? You stop at places. On the way home, you get a big gulp. It's 7-Eleven. You're doing this, you're doing that, you're meeting different people. To say that it was Smash. It's sort of like trying to implicate Smash Mouth in this situation, and I personally have a little bit of an issue with that. But they are out there, and obviously they're passing the coronavirus around to people. So that is their latest thing. That's their new venture. Smash Mouth. No, it isn't just Walking on the Sun. It's a bunch of other crap that you don't care about.
Mm-hmm. And then boom goes Dynamite.
Yeah. That's just that. And if you're a Smash Mouth fan, I think they're cool, but I'm just stating the facts. Facts is facts.
I mean,
their heyday in that few year period there in the late 90s, where a lot of it, like Fuel, that was their like, hey, doesn't mean they didn't do anything else. Doesn't mean that maybe you don't like some of the other records, but that was their heyday. And I think this is why people go like, well, whatever happened to them? Because you don't hear about them in the same way that you heard about them when they initially broke.
And I would definitely go see them if they came to town.
Yeah, I think they look fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a total party band. Yeah. That's a get drunk and jump up and down and act like a fool.
So, Cannonsburg Kevin.
Yes.
Actually did a little research.
Just a little.
For the show
dipping my toe into the pool here.
So I don't know if he will be as entertaining, as informed, or as knowledgeable as Pittsburgh Kevin, but we are going to find out.
Okay.
So,
here we
go. Otherwise,
you're fired.
Here we go. There's no pressure, but don't screw this up, okay?
Okay.
Your entire career is riding on this. I'm just saying.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so one of the bands I picked was Ugly Kid Joe. Remember them?
They had a
hit with Everything About You. Basically, I Hate Everything About You. So Ugly Kid Joe was formed in 1989. Original name was Overdrive. And then they switched to Suburban White Alcoholic Trash, which, kids, if you're forming a band, really put some thought into the name of your band, okay? So they were going to be on a double bill with Pretty Boy Floyd in Santa Barbara, okay? And
I get it.
As a joke, they were going to change their name just that one night to Ugly Kid Joe, kind of a spoof, kind of a, you know, a little play on Pretty Boy Floyd, right? Well, Pretty Boy Floyd ends up canceling their appearance and the gig gets canceled.
Mm.
So the band's like, you know, we kind of like Ugly Kid Joe, and the name, they stuck with the name. Okay. So that's cool. So they ended up breaking up in 1997. Their drummer, Shannon Larkin, is now a member of Godsmack and has been a member since 2002.
Wow, long time.
Yeah. The lead vocalist, Whitfield Crane, joined a band called Life of Agony.
Mm, yeah.
Now, during their existence, they had 4 full-length albums. And I had to laugh at this. They have 2 compilation albums. not just one best hits. They have 2.
How? The only song of theirs I know is that stupid I Hate Everything About You.
Exactly, right? I think
the
it's
only
just,
song by them I know.
Yeah, yeah. And 2 EPs. All right. So they signed with Mercury Records back in 91. Like I said, they broke up in 97. But they reunited in 2010. They had a new EP released in 2012, and in 2015 they actually had a full length record released, and that's pretty much been it since then.
Damn. All right.
So that's I Hate Everything About You is one of those songs I cannot turn the radio off fast enough.
Yeah, it's grating.
However, I think that is unfortunate because they put that much material. I'm curious. Now, as kind of what some of the other, so I may get onto Spotify and just skim and see if there's some like golden nuggets. Because sometimes you find that, you know what I mean? You go to some album that wasn't big by a band, and for whatever reason, it could just be that their sound or their look or whatever is out of vogue. Mm-hmm. So that this doesn't, or maybe their record label was having some kind of upheaval and they didn't put any money. This happens. But this doesn't mean that the record was bad. Maybe there's some cool stuff on there. I'm always hunting for things like that. So good kind of reminder about Ugly Kid Joe.
I don't think they're ugly at all.
Oh,
quite sexy, weren't they?
They got that California surfer thing going on.
Lily likes that. Lily loves that. If there's any California surfer boys listening,
right? Like, I'm gonna find anybody.
Hit us up after. Oh, speaking of hitting us up, real quick, guys, we really need iTunes reviews and ratings, and just subscribe on iTunes too. Like, you know, even if you know, don't listen a lot much in there. That is iTunes is kind of like the Google for podcasting. So if you can get better numbers on iTunes, you know, more people will find you and find your podcast. So if you like what you hear, just pop over to iTunes, go to rate and review, give us a review, and subscribe to it. It really helps us out, helps us to keep you know, the conversation going about great guitar driven rock. Lily, what do you got?
What do I have next on my list is Veruca Salt.
Oh, good one.
Yes. American alternative rock band from Chicago, Illinois. Formed in 1992 by Nina Gordon and Louise Post. Also drummer Jim Shapiro and bassist Steve Lack. Named after, of course, Veruca Salt from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by Roald Dahl. They are best known for their single Seether, which I was obsessed with forever. It was released on the 94 album American Thighs. It was a success, and they actually went on tour with Hole for that album. The songwriting was shared between Gordon and Post, though they never collaborated.
Hole and Salt.
Hole, salt hole. Anyway.
The salt hole.
Yikes.
The two ladies in the band.
Kind of salty.
Wow. They shared the songwriting. However, they never collaborated. They would each submit a complete song to the group, sing the lead vocals on that song, and then the other one would record backing vocals. The band had performed a handful of shows when Jim Powers of Minty Fresh Records asked them to sign to the independent label. Thank God they're not on that anymore. Then they signed to Geffen Records. Seether became an MTV hit. The second single, Number One Blind, was released along with a music video directed by Steve Hanft. I knew I was going to say that wrong. I don't even think I said it right still. The band was unsure about the resulting video. I never saw the video. I don't remember the video, but apparently they panicked and pulled it off the air. So Geffen said, we're done with you. So bye-bye, Geffen, after that. Couldn't have been that bad if Geffen's okay with them having it on. They followed up the success with 1997's Eight Arms to Hold You, lead single Volcano Girls.
That is one of my... One of those, like if I was to put together like a Lost Tracks mix,
that's one of the ones.
I think that song just kicks butt.
And it actually gained exposure with the movie Jawbreaker. Do you remember that movie?
No.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's kind of, it's supposed to be like a teen comedy, but it's kind of sick and twisted in a way. Veruca Salt performed another single, Shutterbug, on Saturday Night Live. Instead of the featured musical group performing two songs, as had been tradition, the musical performances were split between Sting and Veruca Salt.
Huh. Those are strange bedfellows, to say the least.
This change was announced at the last minute between the dress rehearsal and the live show, and Sting was a little mad about that. The band was erroneously introduced by Sting as Veronica Salt.
Slap in the face right there.
By 1998, Post was the only original member still in the band and continued on with other musicians. They released another album in 2000 called Resolver, and then the next one called Four in 2006.
Wow, they put out some records. Okay.
Yeah. After a hiatus in 2012, the band reformed with its original lineup.
They have to have the two girls. I thought that their like way they worked together was really
that.
Cool.
Yeah, it was the best way to have that. In 2013, the band announced via social media that they were working on new material. Their first release since reforming came in the form of a release for Record Store Day in 2014. Which was their fifth studio album, Ghost Notes. And it was the first to feature the band's original lineup. June 25th, 2019, the New York Times Magazine listed Veruca Salt among the hundreds of artists whose material was reportedly destroyed in the 2008 Universal Studios fire, along with Smash Mouth. I saw on the notes there. And don't think they're doing anything now. Could be wrong, but I didn't see anything past 2019 on there. So would suck, because they were super fun. I like when there are two sort of... I like the 90s feel of two girls, like the sort of grungy sound with women, not so much men. So there's that.
There is that.
And they've had several former members too, which I'm not even getting into because it's not important. Because the two girls are the most important.
What do you think of... So thanks, Lily. Good one. I love that. I like... The only songs by them, I got to be honest with you, I knew were Seether and Volcano Girls. That, right, Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones or still remember. Yeah. I know that they did other stuff. I vaguely remember the controversy of Sting announcing them as Veronica Salt.
I didn't actually know that, and then I read it. And I'm like, ooh.
I vaguely remember that controversy and feeling bad. That's always crappy when somebody. I did that one time. I mispronounced a band's name, and I was totally legit. I did not mean to. It was just an honest mistake, and they hated me for the rest of my life.
I was there.
Yeah,
I know the band.
Yeah,
they hated you for the rest of your life.
I see those guys once in a while. I've gone to see them. They're a great band. I don't want to say their name right now because then I'll be like, "You dirty motherfucker!"
Yeah,
because I don't want to get beat up. But they're a really good band, and I felt really stupid. For that was totally unintentional. Anyways, what do you, Kevin and Lily, what do you think of when you hear the titles Rock Candy and Bad Motor Scooter?
Oh, I think Sammy Hagar and Montrose.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Ronnie Montrose? Great guitar player.
Yeah.
Hagar has this tradition now, right? Works with Montrose and goes to work with Van Halen. Two like wildly talented guitarists, wildly influential guitarists. Correct. And before everybody freaks out at their keyboards and starts yelling, you know, how can you compare Ronnie Montrose to Van Halen?
Breathe.
Just relax. Just relax. I'm not saying that he was as good as Van Halen. I'm just saying that he was, at the time, a highly well-respected guitar player. When you play with, let's read the litany of people that he's played with. When you play with, let's say, Van Morrison, yeah, Herbie Hancock, Boz Scaggs, Edgar Winter, Gary Wright, the Bo Brummels, Dan Hartman, Tony Williams, the Neville Brothers, Sammy Hagar. You know what I mean? You got something going on.
You got a resume there.
Yeah, you got a little resume happening. He was born in San Francisco, and when he was a toddler, his parents moved back to Colorado and spent most of his younger years in Denver until he ran away at about the age of 16 to pursue his musical career. Ultimately, he spent most of his life in San Francisco Bay Area. He started out in a band called Sawbuck. And they were signed to Fillmore Records Co., owned and produced by Dave Rubinson and promoter Bill Graham. They toured with a bunch of other acts. Rubinson arranged an audition for Montrose with Van Morrison. Morrison having recently moved to New York, from New York to California, needed a new band to record his next album, Tupelo Honey. Both Montrose and the drummer, his last name is Church, I apologize. Oh, Bill Church, excuse me, left Sawbuck to join Morrison. Both did appear on two songs on the Sawbuck album, which released in 72. Montrose and Church also played on the song Listen to the Lion, recorded during the Tupelo Honey sessions and released on Morrison's next album, St. Dominic's Preview. So, So he is right out of the gate playing that major, and Tupelo Honey is a big album for Van Morrison. played briefly with Boz Scaggs before joining Edgar Winter. And he's on Frankenstein.
So there you go.
That now, and a lot. I think a lot of people think that that's Rick Derringer. That is not. That is Ronnie Montrose.
Wow.
And Free Ride.
Nice. So he's fancy.
He recorded electric 12-string, acoustic 12-string, and mandolin.
Nice.
Formed his own band, Montrose, in 73, featuring, as Cannonsburg Kevin said, the incomparable, the irrepressible, the guy who I hope lives forever, Sammy Hagar. That incarnation of the band released two albums on Warner Brothers, Montrose and Paper Money, before Hagar left to pursue a solo career. The liner notes on Paper Money for the CD edition said that Ronnie was offered to play lead guitar for Mott the Hoople when he left Edgar Winter Group. Montrose says that actually never happened. Oh. It was just a rumor. He also had at his guitar work to Gary Wright's song Power of Love off the 75 album Dreamweaver. Two more Montrose albums with different vocalists. Bob James replaced Sammy Hagar for a little while. Then in 79, he formed Gamma with vocalist Davey Pattison. And, you know, he was out there. He kept on putting out music. 83, played lead guitar on She Is a Telepath from Paul Kantner's album Planet Earth Rock and Roll Orchestra. 85, he joined Seattle's Rail, so joins another band. Played a set of Rail, played a set of their favorites of Rail songs and Montrose songs, Rock Candy, Rock the Nation, etc. And a remake of Thunderclap Newman's Something in the Air. Have you heard Tom Petty's version of Something in the Air?
Oh yeah. Fun.
Yeah, good stuff. He continued to record through the 80s and 90s. Fourth Gamma album came out in 04. Montrose appeared on Sammy Hagar's solo album, Marching to Mars. Remember that album?
Yes.
I have that somewhere. Somewhere I have that laying around. Members, past Montrose members, Bill Church and drummer Denny Carmassi also played on the album. The original Montrose lineup also reformed to play as a special guest at several Sammy Hagar concerts in 04 and 05. Montrose also performed regularly from 2001 to 11 with a Montrose lineup featuring Keith St. John on lead vocals. During a 2009 tour, Montrose revealed that he had been fighting prostate cancer for the previous 2 years, but was healthy once again, continued to tour until his death in 2012. On March 3rd, 2012, Montrose died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. His death was originally assumed to be a result of prostate cancer. However, was released from the coroner that he had committed suicide. Toxicology report, blood alcohol content of 0.31% at the time of death. The deaths of his uncle and of Lola, his bulldog, worsened what Guitar Player magazine called a clinical depression that plagued him since he was a toddler. Oh. Montrose was survived by his wife, two children, and five grandchildren.
Wow. That's so sad, though.
This is a guy who, like, Rock Candy and Bad Motor Scooter, mm-hmm. those were staples of classic rock radio. I mean, Ozzy's Boneyard plays those songs like they're brand new songs. Mm-hmm. They play them constantly. And I think a lot of people just go like, yeah, Montrose, yeah, yeah, but don't know anything else about him and what he had done. And I did not realize that he had played with so many people. And he was obviously a very serious musician to get the gigs that he got. he couldn't have been like some sort of one trick pony mm-hmm. or just some kind of hard rock numbskull. He was obviously a very serious musician. Very sad about his death, of course. So Montrose, that if you always wanted to know what happened to Montrose, now you know what happened to Ronnie Montrose. Any comments from the Peanut Gallery?
We do have Warren Hughes saying there is no music business anymore. It's internet business. And also, he wants to know if you have any Ludini thongs.
We have one, and I'm wearing it. I could send it to you though. Do you prefer washed or unwashed?
Ooh.
Just let me know. Just send me a message.
Fran, it'd be Fran Crasher says Tonic would be a good pick.
Yeah. Pick them next time.
Bill Damiano said there's egos in bands. Ugly Kid Joe. I've interviewed Cordell Crockett twice, and they are still together. They're playing in Europe mostly.
Oh, cool.
And he loves their cover of Cats in the Cradle.
Oh, that's right. And I do like that. I forgot that they had done it. That is very cool. I agree.
Joe Freeman, I Hate Everything About You is my angry song that I listen to by myself when I'm frustrated and need to release some anger. I could think of others. And Charlie Doyle says hi.
Hey, Charlie. Hello, Charlie. Okay, guys. So thank you for hanging out. Real quick, before we're not done, but I just want to give a revisit our sponsor, Wolf's Customs. Go to wolfscustoms.online, get custom paint job on your musical instrument, rockrageradio.com, download the app. And I want to tell you guys about Nashville Rockin' Pod. You want to go to Nashville Rockin'. N is a letter.
That's a letter.
I've been working on my letters and numbers, guys. So
you're doing good.
Am I doing all right?
You just gonna keep looking at the flashcards.
Rock and Pod Expo, Nashville Rock and Pod Expo.com. 2 months, 18 days, 7 hours, 15 minutes, and 46 seconds until it starts. Special guests include Billy Sheehan, Don Jameson, Ron Keogh, Greg Gass, Mark Goodman, Matt Pinfield.
Yeah, he added?
Recently added.
Resistant
Bite, Roxy Blue. These guys stole all my Ludini Rock and Roll Circus mugs last time. They all wanted one. They didn't steal my game.
Ricky
Rackman will be there. So this looks like a great.
Did you?
It's a great, cool. great lineup of people are going to be hanging out. So you want to check that out. You can get all the information there at Nashville Rock and Pod Expo.com, and the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus will be representing there as well. We have time for we have time for a couple more. So go ahead, Lily. What do you got?
My next pick is Sweet, British glam rock band that rose to worldwide fame in the 70s. Best known lineup.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a question about this band.
Yes.
Okay.
And I've seen it both ways.
The Sweet or
are they
Sweet?
The Sweet,
I don't know.
Or are they Sweet?
I don't know the answer to that.
Sweet!
Because when I do research, it's both. So I'm saying Sweet.
I originally heard them as Sweet.
Right.
But then I heard all kind of people referring to them as The Sweet.
Yes, we had this debate before we started, actually.
Go right ahead.
The best known lineup is Brian Connolly, Steve Priest, Andy Scott, and Mick Tucker. They were originally called The Sweet Shop. But that's probably because they did have sort of like an Archie sort of bubblegum feel to them when they first started. So that's probably why they were called that. They also later on had a Who-influenced hard rock style. They achieved much success in the UK charts with Blockbuster. Also Hellraiser, The Ballroom Blitz, Teenage Rampage. Mm-hmm. The band turned to more hard rock style with their mid-career singles like Turn It Down, Fox on the Run, which is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, good jam.
And they also achieved success and popularity in the U.S. with Little Willie and the other ones I said, plus Love is Like Oxygen. They had their last international success in 78 with Love is Like Oxygen.
You get too much, you get too high, not enough, and you're going to die.
Connolly left the group in 79. They did decide to start forming their own versions of the band. So Andy Scott's Suite is from 1985 to now.
Oh, wow. Still going.
But only in like Europe and stuff. Hold on, let me read that. Andy Scott and Mick Tucker organized their own version of the Suite with Paul Mario Day, ex-Iron Maiden, on lead vocals, Bill Lanzin on keyboards, and Mal McNulty on bass. Several lineup changes of this version alone, so that starts to get a little confusing, like we've talked about before. They only really play in Europe and Australia, so that's not a thing here. What's funny? Is it because me?
You're good.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, the band recorded a new album of old tracks entitled Isolation Boulevard. Another version of Suite that is no longer there is New Suite, Brian Connolly's version, 1984 to 1997. Unfortunately, he passed away, so that's why that version is no longer around.
Broke up. So if you ask whatever happened to those guys, they died.
And Steve Priest's Suite from 2008 to 2020 was also a thing, but Priest died June 4th, 2020. Wow. So that's why there is no longer that. So we probably will never see Suite again over here because Andy Scott's version doesn't really tour over here. So that's what they're doing.
Wow.
they sold over 35
albums. That's such a cool band. Mm-hmm. And they go from bubblegummy kind of stuff to more serious type stuff. I mean, I really, there was something that, and they were able to get over with all those kind of different versions of what they did. I think that's kind of cool. That's a kind of lost thing with bands sort of being able to, jump over here and try this. The band that did that the most is the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rolling Stones started out, you know, doing their kind of blues-based rock stuff. And, I mean, crap, they did freaking disco songs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they brought in hip-hop at different times and, you know, dance, all kind of stuff. So they were able to kind of do that. I think it takes some longevity to be able to pull that type of stuff off. Kevin has a band that I really want to talk about. So I want you to go ahead and get into those guys.
Do it.
I'm going to do it. So Coney Hatch.
Who remembers Coney Hatch? If you're from Pittsburgh.
Yinz are from Pittsburgh.
What's the song? Monkey Bars. Played almost daily on the Electric Lunch.
Michelle, you just play Monkey Bars.
Hey, Michelle, can you get some Coney Hatch on for lunch?
So Coney
Hatch. Sorry. I know we don't have just Pittsburgh listeners. But
But they were formed in 1981. Their first album was produced by Kim Mitchell. Do you know who Kim Mitchell is?
Yes, I do. Might as well go for a soda.
Right.
Kim Mitchell's a legend in Canada. He's really beloved musician. He's got a radio show or something.
He does. Yeah. Originally in Max Webster.
Yeah, Max Webster. Yeah,
that's the, used to tour with Rush a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. So they are named after the Coney Hatch Lunatic Asylum in London.
Oh.
Little twist.
I did not know this. This is great.
Isn't that kind of cool? Unfortunately, though, 2008, Carl Dixon, who was the guitarist and vocalist, was in a car accident, suffered traumatic brain injury, and ended up losing one of his eyes.
Oh.
Now, here's the thing, though. In August of 2010, they reformed, including Carl. Even after
One-Eyed Carl. One-Eyed Carl.
And performed and played
there. One-Eyed Carl over there on the kazoo. Hey, bring your swine head with you. Why don't you?
Don't get too close to him because his depth perception's a little off.
My, get poked in the eye.
Oh,
Lord. Hey, lose your eye.
My God. You shoot your eye out.
OMG.
Why don't you shoot your eye out? He'll shoot your eye out with that, Carl.
Wow. I really hope Carl's not listening.
I hope that he is.
He's going to say, oh, you guys. But they reformed in 2010. And that was their first show together, the original lineup, since 1993. And they last toured in 2018. That was across Canada. So
I did not know they were still active.
Yeah, they were still active, especially after, you know, a bad accident like that. It was kind of cool.
Wow.
Yes.
So we had some good bands tonight. We had a lot of fun talking about these bands, like kind of like where are they now? What the hell happened?
This is kind of like one of my new favorite things we do.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
And it brings up other bands too that we can talk about.
Like we Fran brought up Tonic, so definitely think we need to talk about Tonic. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about Live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's several. And we should do other bands from different decades, too.
You brought up Sweet. Bands
that's a really good.
I try to mix it up in my list.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's do a little bit of This Day in Music. We're going to leave the show with, we're going to play a track on our out with the band Ugly. And you can go to artist.com/ugly band, and we're gonna play some Ugly as our sort of outro here when we get out of here. But before that, real quick, I always like to do This Day in Music. On this day in 1964, a riot broke out in Hamilton, Scotland, during a Stones UK tour, when over 4,000 fans with forged tickets gate crashed the band. 4,000 with the forged tickets, not like 40 people.
They always cause so many problems.
4,000 people forged their tickets, but they didn't even know how to, like, the technology in 64 to forge a ticket. What'd they do, like cut it out with scissors and write it with crayon or something? Like, I can't get my mind around that.
That's great.
Wow.
Okay, I don't want to talk about that. The Beatles, the Beatles, everything.
They have something every day.
This day in 1967, 67 was a great year, the release of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and it was my birthday. I was born in 1967. We're selected to represent the UK for the first ever global-wide satellite broadcast. Oh, this is a very famous thing. The group agreed to be shown in the studio recording a song written specially for the occasion. Scheduled for June 25th, John Lennon wrote All You Need Is Love, which was thought to sum up the 1967 Summer of Love, the Beatles, and the Beatles' sympathies. With the satellite broadcast being broadcast to so many non-English speaking countries, the BBC asked the Beatles to keep it simple. And how much more simple? All you need is love. Yeah. I mean, how much more simple could you be? In this day in 67, Pink Floyd started recording their forthcoming See Emily Play at Sound Technique Studios, Chelsea, London. Sid Barrett was inspired to write See Emily Play by the looning about of the early Pink Floyd fan, Emily Young. So I don't know what that means, looning about. Was that mean like hanging around the band?
I would say that's slang, yeah.
During this time, David Gilmour was playing gigs around France with his own band. And David Gilmour, of course, would go on to replace Sid Barrett. Who remembers? And they called him the Streak.
Yeah.
Ray Stevens started a three-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with the novelty song "The Streak," which capitalized on the then popular craze of streaking. Kevin, tell people what streaking is. Was
this is going to sound crazy to young people, but people back in the day would take their clothes off and run around in public. I know, right?
They would run, but they would specifically do it like at football
sporting
games,
events,
you
know, football, right,
basketball
yeah, yeah.
games.
Big
games.
Crowded areas.
Yeah. Where they were going to be a gig, we're going to be on TV, and there's all kind of, you can look it up on YouTube, there's all kind of wide world of sports and stuff like that, where Coco Sal and those guys, you know.
Right,
you know,
the referees out there trying to, you know, catch the guy.
Yeah, and everybody trying to be... Call, you know, the announcers are all trying to be kind of like, you know, calm about it.
Yeah.
And 1985 was a great year. It was the year I graduated high school, and Simple Minds were at number one this day on the U.S. singles chart with "Don't You Forget About Me," written by Keith Forsey, who won an Oscar for Flashdance, "What a Feeling," and Steve Schiff, guitarist, songwriter for the band Nina Hagen Band. The track was featured in the 1985 American teen drama. What was it?
The Breakfast Club.
Yes, everybody loves The Breakfast Club. Okay, that is all I wanted. But we got birthdays.
There's a real good one.
And there's a really good one on here. And then we're just going to say it. This guy has a street named after him, like about what? About a block.
It's a block.
From, about a block from here. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's Perry Como's birthday. Oh. And there's a statue of Perry Como in the center of our town, Cannonsburg. American. So if you don't know who Perry Como was, American singer and television personality, who had the 1957 U.S. number one single, Round and Round, not
the rat version.
The rat song. And the number one single in 58, Magic Moments, Como has the distinction of having 3 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for his work in radio, television, and music. He died on the 12th of May, 2001, at the age of 88.
Wow.
Rick Wakeman, English keyboardist, songwriter, television and radio presenter, session musician. Early sessions included playing on Space Oddity for David Bowie, worked with T-Rex, Elton John, Cat Stevens. Wakeman became a member of the Straubs. And then he was also a member of course, the classic Yes lineup. Mark Mothersbaugh, American musician Mark Mothersbaugh, co-founder of the New Wave band.
Devo.
Oh. That's right. We did a whole feature on Devo not long ago. So happy birthday to Mike Mothersbaugh. Country musician and well-known alcoholic.
What?
George Strait. No, he's not an alcoholic. Just George Jones. I'm just being a joke. I'm just joking around. American country music singer, songwriter, actor George Strait was born this day in 1952. I don't know some of these people. If you know them, jump in, Lily.
No.
The rest of these people suck.
Who cares?
We don't care about them. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, Jack Johnson.
Yeah,
we know Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson was born in 1975. He was Hawaiian-born singer, songwriter, surfer who scored 2006 UK album, number one album, In Between Dreams, and the 06 single, excuse me, 06 album, Sing-Alongs and Lullabies for the film Curious George, also known for organizing an annual event in
the Kukua.
Kukua Festival. So, Jack Johnson. On this day in 2017, Chris Cornell died.
Oh, wow.
On this day in 2017, it was announced that The Killers' Mr. Brightside was the most streamed song.
I was obsessed with that song for a minute.
Released before 2010. And this day in 2019, a sweater worn by Kurt Cobain during the singer's last photo shoot with Nirvana sold for $75,000 at an auction. Wow.
And it probably reeked.
Right. It still had some heroin on it.
It might have.
I've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. You want to go to lulombardimusic.com at this moment. There is a Ludini Rock and Roll Circus website coming with everybody. Did you send me your bio yet?
No, send me your bio.
Keith has a bio.
Well, mine's going to be epic.
Epic. So anyways, that's coming, but you want to just right now go to lulombardimusic.com. That'll get you on our mailing list and you won't miss anything that's going on. We do giveaways and all kind of fun stuff so you definitely want to check that out. Wolfscustoms.online, custom paint job and artwork on your musical instrument. RockRageRadio.com. Do not forget about the Rock and Pod Expo in Nashville. You want to go to NashvilleRockAndPodExpo.com and get all the details there. That's coming up in August. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And don't forget, guys, go to iTunes, give us a rate and review, and subscribe. That really helps us. If you love what we do, you want to keep it going, we really appreciate that if you would do that. As promised, we're going to get out of here with a band. Oh, Lily, real quick, give your show.
Hot Licks with Lily, 6 Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern, RockRageRadio.com, or get the free app on your phone.
Absolutely. We're going to get out of Pittsburgh, Cannonsburg. Kevin, thank you so much for hanging out tonight. We had a great time. And this is the band Ugly. You can go to artistecard.com/ugly band and check them out. This is a track called Bad Dance, and we'll catch you guys all in the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.